Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Bruce Bush and Christy Short from Bush's Bunches Produce Stand. Did I get all that correct? Is that who we're talking to today?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Okay, good morning. Perfect. Thanks for being here. I always like to start the show by asking my guests a little bit about themselves. So, Bruce, we'll start with you. I want to know, how did you get to Alaska and what? How did you get connected to agriculture? So tell me a little history about Bruce Bush.
Well, I was born and raised here, and I started out in agriculture because my folks bought the farm in 56, and we started farming since then.
Okay. So you always knew you wanted to be a farmer?
Yes.
Yeah?
Well, no, not always.
No?
There was a teenager where I resisted the temptation of farming.
You went away from the farm for a little bit, right?
Yeah, I worked 15 years as a construction surveyor.
Okay. All right. Cool. And Christy, what's your connection? How did you make it to Alaska, and how did you end up as part of Bush's Bunches?
Well, I was born up here as well. I was born down in the Panhandle, and I grew up here in Palmer and finished high school up here at Palmer High and went down to Colorado for a little bit for natural resources management at CSU, Colorado State University in Fort Collins. Came back up here after that and worked with Alaska Oceans Network in Anchorage for a bit, and then moved out to the valley. At one point, I was working with you over at Division of Ag.
That's right.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
With the Alaska Grown Program. And then after that, doing some random odd jobs, and Bruce came at me one day and said, "Hey, so you know all the farmers in town. You want to maybe think about coming to the farm here and maybe taking over?" Well, I guess so. Let's give it a shot.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I ended up over at the farm.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Well, let's go back a little bit, Bruce. And you said your parents bought the farm in 56?
Yeah, right.
Okay. And so that for those folks that don't know, where is your farm located? What property are we talking about?
We're located right across about half mile from the Palmer Bridge, Palmer Bridge.
Okay.
We're here from about 2 miles from Palmer toward Lazy Mountain or toward the Butte on the old Glen.
Yeah.
On it. I think it's mile 17 or something like that.
Yeah. And how many acres does the farm consist of?
We have about 70 acres right there.
Okay. And back in the 50s, when you first got started, or when your parents first got started, what did the farm produce then?
Well, we started out with just my sister selling some radishes and onions and stuff down just for pocket money so you can buy clothes for the school and stuff.
Yeah.
And then that kind of developed from that. So she started making a little bit extra money, and then pretty soon a little bit of money makes, and you do this and that and make a little bit more money. So that's how we got started.
Yeah.
So I did that when I was only four, I think, when they started that. So around about when I was about eight, I was actually running the store.
Really?
On it. Yeah.
So you guys have had a produce stand there on the corner of the farm for that long?
Yeah,
I mean, not to age you or anything, Bruce, but that you were eight a long time ago.
Right. Yeah, 1960, I think.
Okay.
But we ran a store in the 60s, all through the 60s, and up until the 70s when all of us left the farm.
Okay.
And they left Mom without any help, so she just started doing the greenhouse. That's how Bush's greenhouse started. And she was always doing that in the spring anyway, so she just kept that as full time. And then the farm kind of fell. We were still doing a little bit of wholesale once in a while.
Yeah.
And I was still kind of farming, even though I was doing some surveying, right? Come in and help my dad do the potatoes and other stuff, you know, kept the kind of the potato string going and the rhubarb.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you mentioned rhubarb because that's something that you're pretty well known for and that your farm has a long history with, right?
Right, right. We have history. I could calculate by rhubarb all the way back to 1935 or more.
So you have like rhubarb plants that are
from
that old,
yeah,
like from colonist days.
before calling us, actually.
Yeah, I'm not good at math, but.
Actually, what happened is Max Sherrod came up with the nurse for the deal. He came to Kinnick, to the town of Kinnick, which was a town at that time.
Right.
And he went there and he see these big rhubarb plants with the big leaves and stuff. And he was able to talk to the sea captain that was retired there that was had the rhubarb stock. And then he moved the rhubarb stock to North Palmer.
Okay.
And then he met my dad in the late 50s or early 40s or late 40s and 50s. And they had a good relationship. And then they, when we moved to the farm, he took some of the stuff from his stock there.
Okay.
That he had in North Palmer and moved it to our place.
Wow. How many, do you have acres now of rhubarb, or are you still counting in row feet? What do you think?
Well, we have probably about a half acre of rhubarb.
Okay. Yeah. That's a lot of rhubarb.
It's a lot of rhubarb.
Most
we did about
have one or two plants.
I can't remember how many.
A lot of rhubarb.
We sold all the rhubarb this year.
Really?
All that was gone. We could have used more. In fact, we're going to have to plant more now.
So. We do. We need to separate the crowns.
Yeah.
So we need another roll of rhubarb.
Because in years past, you have harvested, cut, chopped, and froze your rhubarb, right, and kept it?
But we still do that,
okay,
yeah.
You still had enough to do that this year?
Not enough, but we had some. We have some. We still have some frozen rhubarb in the freezer.
Okay.
So
where's the growth in that market? Why are you seeing a demand change there?
See what now?
For the rhubarb. Why do you think there's more demand for it now?
Oh, I think it's one of those, you know, it's something that people are getting. It's kind of, rhubarb's only been around for 200 years. They only started making pie out of it out of that last 200 years.
Oh, really?
Before that, it was a medicine for, alien stuff. And,
yeah.
So the rhubarb root was more important than the leaves and the stalks.
Okay.
On it. In fact, they thought it was poisonous for quite a while.
Okay.
And then anyway, they started making pies out of it, and somebody in England made a pie, and next thing you know, it just
it
became popular.
Them.
And then it was popular for quite
a
while,
until
say the mid-70s and stuff, and then all of a sudden you couldn't sell rhubarb at all for a few years. Hmm. But all of a sudden now people are getting back into it, so it's just up and down, you know.
Hmm.
It's come around again.
I had seen, Vicky showed me a graph between cranberry juice and rhubarb juice.
Right.
And how much more potent rhubarb juice is at, with the antioxidants
and
such.
Yeah, a lot better for you, right?
Way better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a lot more. It's got it better than cranberries.
Yeah.
On it. And it also can replace, just like cranberry juice is used for a lot of other different juices.
Yeah.
And you can use rhubarb juice in the same way.
Right.
So it's just not popular because nobody's marketing it that way. At least up here, they haven't.
Yeah. Well, I remember a few years ago when I was at the Division of Ag, Christy, I'm not sure if this is when you were there or not, but they started having that rhubarb rumble recipe contest here in Palmer.
Yeah, I remember Denise starting that.
Yeah, and Pizzeria Delphi replaced all the tomatoes and the chili with rhubarb and won the rumble like multiple years.
Yeah.
Have you had that chili?
Yes, we sold it at the fair one year.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's really good. And you'd never know there wasn't tomatoes in it.
Yeah, no tomatoes. It's all rhubarb, you
know. Yeah. What a
trouble
versatile.
Is, there's not that many people allergic to tomatoes, so, you know.
right. Well, a quick interruption to remind folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning in the studio is Bruce Bush and Christy from Bush's Bunches Produce Stand. So you mentioned the fair. Let's talk about the fair a little bit, because that's a lot of people's probably first, only, and biggest touch with Bush's Bunches Farm is at the fair. How many years have you been at the fair, Bruce?
I've been there over 30 years at the fair.
Jeez, and they keep letting you come back, huh?
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Barely.
And Christy, you were at the fair this year, behind the scenes, right?
Yeah, I've been working with Bruce for the last 2 years at the fair.
Okay.
Because he does several, I don't think anybody knows what he actually does at the fair, but he does several different operations at the fair, not just the
They made a movie
produce.
Of it this year.
What? Yeah, they made a movie. We had a documentary team following us around.
Yeah, they made a movie of what
hilarious.
I do at the fair.
Oh, cool. Well, when's that going to show?
I don't know. I haven't
heard from him. Have you heard? I haven't heard either.
Curious. Well, anyway. Tell us what all. What besides the stand that's so famous? It's always my first day at the fair. The first thing I always have to eat is the peanut potatoes with the bacon mayonnaise, whatever that magic is. That
smoky bacon dip.
Yes. Oh man, that's my favorite. I have to have
well,
it first time.
It kind of those peanut potatoes is. When I first started at the fair, there was already a peanut potato booth that was doing the peanut potatoes.
30 years ago.
And I was supplying the peanut potatoes.
Okay.
But I was only supplying them probably maybe 1,000 pounds or, 1,500 if they had a big year or something. And they only had one little fryer, and everybody stood in line forever just to get some peanut potatoes. And,
yeah.
And finally, they decided they had enough fair, so they quit, and then... They sold it to another vendor.
Okay,
but she ran it for 2 years. But she just was put away. She had some business problems.
Okay,
and anyway, that and the fair come to me. Then we didn't have it 1 year, and then the fair come to me and asked me if I could do the peanut potatoes, and so I said yeah because everybody missed them.
Yeah.
So I said okay. So that's how I started doing the peanut potato. That was probably. 5 or 6 years after my 6th year at the fair.
Oh, okay.
So I've been doing peanut potatoes for that. Before that, I was doing desserts and stew and veggie packs.
Okay.
All Alaskan, made out of all Alaskan products.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything that's not an Alaskan at the fair because I went there as an idea to promote Alaska Grown. At that time in the early 90s, Alaska Grown wasn't as famous as it is now. So.
Right.
So I went there and tried to get the word out back then.
Yeah, and, which is something that you've obviously done very well at because, I mean, you are the only vegetable stand at the fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
People, I mean, a lot of people, they, well.
Well, it was surprising how people would pack produce out of there.
It blows my mind seeing people
I had it there just for
vegetables.
Display, and the next thing I know, I was selling it. And then pretty soon that came part of the. Part of the deal is just the people packing vegetables.
They plan for it. People.
We got
for...
yelled at last year because we didn't have a zucchini wall because it was a bad zucchini.
Yeah, we didn't have.
We got yelled at.
So, where are the big zucchinis?
And then we started doing the zucchini wall about 3 or 4 years ago, and that's kind of
on the honor system even.
Yep. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Only had one guy, try and steal money, and he grabbed some zucchinis, some giant zucchinis, grabbed a huge handful of the money and took off running.
Oh,
and
no.
There's $5 bills flying out from everywhere. He's trying to shove them down his shirt. Customers chasing him down. And he beat a security guard with a giant zucchini.
Oh, wow.
What happened to you today? Oh, I got hit with a giant zucchini.
I made a bad choice. So back to the peanut potatoes at the fair. Unfair question. Do you know how many pounds of fried peanut potatoes you sell at the fair?
Didn't we just figure that out?
Holy biscuits.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
We actually ran out several times this year, and we had to replace it with Myrna.
What happened is the patch I had at the farm. Well, first of all, we used free fryers this year, so we used more peanut potatoes.
Oh, okay.
We had less line, so everybody got more peanuts. Well, we sold more peanut potatoes faster.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
Well, yeah, it was a good thing, but we weren't quite prepared for it on the field. So we had to use up one whole patch, and then we started using our patch that we use for seed potatoes. So
and
they
weren't quite ready yet either. They were pretty small by the beginning of the fair.
At the end of the fair, they were pretty good shape, But so we used up a lot of the field, the peanut potato. In fact, we thought we weren't going to have any, but then we had another patch peanut potatoes that we got into that.
Yeah.
That we had enough seed, and we actually have a little extra peanut potatoes right now.
Oh, okay. So other than the peanut potatoes, I have to assume that that's the number one seller out of the fair booth, right? Is the peanut potatoes.
Right.
So what's second? What else do you sell the most of out of there?
Probably stew.
The stew,
yeah, also
the stew
delicious.
Is real popular because it's a really, it's an all basic stew, and it,
it's so good.
It's so good, and it's real
Alaska
tasty, and it's
meat.
Also really, good for you.
Yeah,
so.
And it's a top sirloin cut. It's not
it's
just,
delicious.
Yeah, we don't slack off on the meat and everything.
My
the
only
best.
Complaint about the stew, my only problem with the stew is every darn year I burn my mouth on the stew.
Yeah, you have to serve it hot. That's
a
requirement.
Oh, it's so good. I just can't wait. And then I burn my mouth, and then for the next 3 days at the fair, I'm not enjoying my other fair food because I still have a burnt mouth.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's my own fault. It's
well,
own
next
fault.
Time we'll get you a rhubarb lemonade to go with.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, has your booth grown in size recently? Is it bigger?
Yes, it has. Yeah. It's been it's huge right now. It's
yeah.
one of the
Quite
I think we're one
footage.
Of the top booths now
yeah.
at the, for food and everything. So
yeah.
we're doing really well at the fair.
Yeah, and it really does.
Thank you, customers out there, that enjoy our peanut potatoes.
Absolutely, and all that produce. It never ceases to amaze me watching people walk around with all that produce in their hands. I think, don't they know they can get that at the store? Like, they think they have to go to the fair to get their vegetables. But hey,
well,
we're glad
you're
there.
A lot of times they don't, because they don't see the local stuff until they come to the fair.
Sure, good
and that
point.
A lot of times, so they can't count accounting on it, because you got to look for it. You know, farmers market's only one day a week.
Yeah,
and maybe 2 days a week, depending on where you're at in Anchorage, and then. Of course, we're open every day at where we're at in the summer, but a lot of times there's a lot of people don't know that we're there.
Yeah, it's true.
All they really remember is, isn't there a U-Pick out there somewhere?
Sure.
So yeah. I let people remind them, yes, there's Pyra's U-Pick.
Yeah.
Plus we come out with the new potatoes then too, so it's like the first time they have new potatoes, and it's all at the fair.
Good point.
And then, we have like five or six different varieties there.
Yeah.
And then we have the big carrots. The carrots are a really big seller.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we usually have Pam's carrots at the booth there first thing. And I don't think her carrots hit the store until about October.
Yeah, we were like exclusive on the carrots for a while at the fair.
Good place to be.
So, we got that going for us, and they're really good carrots.
The best.
But, Alaskan carrots, you just can't beat them anywhere.
No, I agree. What's the craziest thing in your years at the fair? Maybe Chrissy, in your couple of years at the fair, what's the craziest thing that's happened at your fair booth? Thing that surprised you the most, or something you didn't expect?
Well, I think probably sometimes, one time we had the box sale at the end of the fair, which is the box sale started out because I didn't want to take to pack stuff home.
Sure.
So we just trying to sell it all at the fair, and then we just box it up and have it sell it by the box, and then that became kind of a thing. So I had to start bringing stuff in for the box fair to cover all the customers.
Cover the demand.
And one time we had almost a frenzy going there.
People going to charge over the top of other folks just to get
the
box.
They were.
They were.
Really?
Yeah. You would be surprised. There are some people who are like, my rutabagas!
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they were,
easy.
They stuffed them. And we had to cut the flaps off the boxes because they kept flipping the flaps up, and then they kept stacking them up.
Make
over.
Their boxes bigger.
Yeah.
That's
people took advantage, but that's all right. Yeah. That's where we're trying to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But,
absolutely.
It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was fun to watch them just frenzy over.
Get excited.
Over.
I think the best part is, during the day, you're selling 25-pound bags of carrots. And people are like, is it okay if I leave this here until later? So then at the end of the night, you're calling all these people.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, they throw the baby out of the carriage. And say
they do. They take the kid out of the buggy, the stroller, or whatever.
Right.
Put the bags of carrots in there.
Oh, my gosh.
Because the kids are lighter than carrying the carrots.
Yeah.
You can walk, kid. The carrots got to be pushed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, another quick reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning are Christy and Bruce from Bush's Bunches Produce Stand. And we're at our last segment already. This time just flies right by. So before we forget, I'm sure we could talk another 10 minutes about the fair, but let's talk about the produce stand itself first. Christy, it feels like you guys have reworked a website, and you've got quite a website going on for the produce stand, right?
Yes.
You want to tell people what it is?
It's the bushesbunches.com.
Okay.
And it's pretty easy to find once you push those digits in there.
Yeah.
So Margaret Adsett and Emily Longbreak.
Amazing.
I cannot thank them enough.
If you need design work or website work, they're your team, right?
They redesigned the face of Bush's Bunches for us this summer. And
great new logo.
Fantastic logo.
Yeah.
I really love it. I love pushing it out there, getting it out there,
and
really putting our face out there with that.
Yeah.
So,
smart move. Good job. It looks really good. I've
and
spent
if
some
we
time
can,
on the website.
If we can connect and use that logo at the fair booth, maybe, I'm just hoping, maybe they'll connect us with our farm stand.
Yeah.
That's the big hope anyhow, because a lot of people don't know that, you guys have a farm stand out there? Yeah. So, yeah, that's us.
So tell us a little bit more about the farm stand. Are you operational right now this time of year?
Yes, we are open currently Thursday, Friday, Saturday from noon to 6. Okay. And so that's out there. And on Saturdays, we're doing our Bush's Winter Market from noon to 6. And we have vendors set up with tables out there.
Oh, kind of like a little farmer's market inside?
Farmer's market inside. They're selling handmade goods. I know that the kids from Academy Charter, there's some middle school kids there that have been in the international club. They're trying to get to Europe. So they've been selling baked goods there. And we've got, Roderick and what's his name? Her name, Debbie, Lucero. They do donuts and bear claws. And
yum.
It's a bear claw the size of your face.
Nice.
They're delicious. We've got a gal from Alaska Glacier Bites. She's dehydrating carrots
for pet treats. I just
saw
that on the website.
And
tell
she's,
me more.
So she's dehydrating carrots, making it pet treats. There's nothing added to them. It's just you could eat them.
Yeah. Because my dog eats pretty well. I'm not going to feed him something that I don't know what's in there. But do dogs like carrots in general?
Yeah. One of our farm workers, his dog likes radishes, and you just throw him a radish.
Yeah,
jump on it.
Very good. And
so but dog treats, pet treats. Maybe even some cats like them. I don't even know. But Alaska Glacier Bites there.
Great name, by the way. Whoever came up with that, I like it.
Right.
I liked the logo and stuff. That was good. So you said Thursday, Friday, Saturday, noon to 6?
Correct.
Okay. And as far as farm products, what is available at the farm stand this time of year?
Currently, we've got 7 different kinds, 8 different kinds of potatoes. We've got carrots. 3 different kinds of beets and lots of turnips. And then we've got a lot of our canned goods. We made a really amazing organic spaghetti sauce with all Alaska grown stuff in it. Lots of different canned things. We pickled some of them beets that we've got because we've got lots of them.
Is it a spicy pickled or like a normal pickle?
Well, we've got a ginger pickle.
Oh, okay.
So it's a pickled ginger beet.
Yeah.
And that one's really, really tasty. And we've got apple butter, rhubarb butter, blueberry butter. We've got blueberry pie filling and apple pie fillings. Oh, cranberry sauces.
I heard someone say that you guys were carrying Havemeister milk.
Yes.
That's great.
I like to have the essentials there.
Yeah.
So we've been getting eggs in. We try and actually next year we've got a 4-H group, a project with some 4-H kids that are making sure that they can carry us through the summer with eggs.
Great.
Every year we keep having a hard time because people are really excited about local eggs.
Absolutely.
They come to the store. We sell out super quick.
Yeah.
So we try and get the eggs from the 4-H kids next year. Hopefully that'll work out really, really well.
Okay, great. Any protein?
Bread.
Eggs?
Currently, no.
Okay.
But we do have our little commercial kitchen there in the Ruby Caboose, so we've thought about just getting hams. And we are working on some of the local organic chickens. They'll be frozen whole.
Okay.
So we've got the milk, bread from House of Bread over in Wasilla, eggs.
I'm impressed with the produce that you have left.
And produce.
It's December.
Still. Yeah.
And
it's December.
8 different kinds of potatoes is better than you can get at the grocery store, right? And they certainly don't have any local turnips or beets or what was the other thing you said?
Carrots.
Turnips, beets, and carrots.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Real good.
Yeah.
I'll have to get in there. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, noon to 6. And then a little farmer's market on Saturdays also doesn't start till noon?
Yes,
okay.
Correct.
And on your website, does it have a list of products available? Like if I can't get out there for a couple of weeks, am I going to know what I can get before I go out there? Or is it just come see?
The way Margaret designed it, I should be able to do that easily. I'm not computer savvy.
It's hard to have Margaret out of country, isn't it?
I know. Margaret, come back.
Yeah.
But
I need to get back on there and make sure that what we do have available right now is what's on there.
Sure.
There's a lot of things that are on there right now. So you can always call us or Facebook message us. Or find us on Facebook.
Yep. Bunches Produce Stand, right, on Facebook?
Yes.
Yep.
And that way I message you right back on that one.
Great.
So that's really, really easy.
Yeah.
And, but one of the reasons we have the website is for people to find us and sign up early, pre-order for things in the spring, such as the beets or pickling cucumbers, cabbage, things like that. So we can kind of help us determine what we need to plant.
Okay, good. So, Bruce, throughout the year and years, you carry products from a lot of different growers at your produce stand, at your fair stand, et cetera. Do you have an idea of the number of other farms that you're supporting through the stand? Oh, Christy's nodding. She knows. If Bruce doesn't know, Christy knows.
I don't know how many we had this year, but Christy.
29,
okay.
Yeah, we are supporting 29 various farms.
That's great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, a great outlet for farmers that don't want to spend their time at that at a farm stand or a farmer's market, et cetera. They have a great outlet for their product through you guys.
Yeah, and we've always encouraged them, too. If you want to drop off your stuff here and we'll buy it from you wholesale, or put up a tent out in our little parking lot out there and
sell your own.
Go ahead and sell it yourself.
There you go.
The more people out there, they
have to make it one day every year, a certain day and certain time.
Regular hours.
Regular hours makes a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Bruce, I always like to ask people as we're kind of trending towards the end of the show to put on your magic glasses or look into your crystal ball and tell me what you think the farm will look like 4 or 5 years from now. It sounds like Christy's part of your succession plan. You know that the farm's going to continue because Christy's come on board. But do you see it changing much, growing in size? Are you going to specialize more one way or the other? Or?
I think it's going to grow because we're getting into more value-added products.
Mm-hmm.
So we're probably doing more that type of manufacturing or processing.
Yep.
which hasn't really been done a lot up here. We only can do it in small increments now because we don't have enough to supply cars or Safeway, but we have enough to supply ourselves and other people, So there's kind of a need for that on up here,
Absolutely.
So it's kind of something that we're kind of branching out to. Now that I'm not doing the heavy farming anymore, I can concentrate on that kind of thing.
Get creative.
Right.
Yeah. And Christy, as you think about the future of the farm and Bush's Bunches Produce Stand, what are you most excited about or how do you think it's going to change over the next 4 or 5 years?
One of the things we definitely need to change is labor force.
Yeah.
That was a big hit on this summer. So I'm trying
finding labor?
Not just finding labor or finding good labor, people that know what they're doing.
A little bit of farm experience,
but just labor that is consistent.
Sure.
Also, that will stay through the whole season.
Yeah, come back. Yeah.
So there's that, and I'm looking for doing students, internships and things like that. So help us with labor cost.
Very good.
So
good. Well, it's been a pleasure having both of you on the show this morning. I appreciate you taking the time out for Ag Matters Radio. And just a reminder to folks to find Bush's Bunches Produce Stand and check them out online. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.